Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Yankee offense has certainly woken up over the last couple of games. Bellinger, back-to-back huge games. Luis Garcia Jr., back-to-back huge games. And if you're watching the television broadcast, Meredith was talking about Luis Garcia Jr.'s chain that he is wearing now, which is LG, obviously Luis, then Garcia, and then a lion in the middle of it, which, based on the story that she told, was Luis Garcia Jr.'s favorite animal growing up. And apparently this is a chain that he has had for several years, but he's never worn it on the field. And he decided the other night, hey, I'm going to wear it on the field. And then obviously he goes 4 for 4, and baseball players and athletes in general, and maybe humans in general, are very superstitious. So obviously Garcia wore it again last night and had another huge game. And look, I think Garcia's could go down as one of the great trades from Brian Cashman. I mean, he to get a guy that you could plug in the middle of your lineup, under contract not only this year, next year, having a career year, feels sustainable, perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. That move was, and his defense has been better than advertised. He's really kind of settled in as the, I think, the first baseman, not only now, but also next year. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. Hector joins us from the Bronx. What's going on, Hector?
My man, how you been?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. Hey, so before you have my Yankee player, I got a quick video game and a quick show to suggest to you.
Mm-hmm.
The video game thing you talk about, I'm a Marvel guy, so my favorite fighting game would be Marvel versus Capcom. I don't know if you ever went into that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm well aware of it. Yep.
Yeah, great game. And as far as shows, I'm a big fan of the whole Yellowstone thing. But they have that guy, that Tyler Sheridan, that he makes all his shows are fabulous. And Mayor of Kingstown, if you haven't watched that, I suggest you watch that.
I've heard a lot about that show. I've never seen it, but I've heard a lot about it. So,
Great.
So you would, where can I watch it on, though? What platform?
Paramount Plus.
Paramount, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And all his shows are fabulous, whether it be Lioness or Mayor King of Tulsa. You know, he has a lot of great shows.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of those, but they all, I've heard a lot of good things about all of them.
Yeah. My Yankee point is, I was watching the game today, and I noticed the difference in the lineup with what can a player coming back like Bellinger can do to the dynamics of the lineup, which is incredible. As far as, like, it helps out even people like Rice, because now Rice seems to have more protection in the lineup where he's starting to hit better again. He was slumping for a while because he had nobody around him to protect him. But now he's got Belly and Garcia around him. Like, so he's, if you know, he's starting to heat up again, which is great. And then Belly coming back automatically just gave a shot to the offense. And Garcia has, the same way, you know, slumping is contagious, so is hitting, man. This guy, Garcia, like you said, was a great pickup. Probably one of the best Cashman's picked up.
Oh, he's got such a live bat. I mean, even when he makes out, he makes a tremendous impact as far as contact. And he's just a player. You could just watch him and go, he's a player. And he helps out in so many different ways, especially now when you're figuring that Stanton's not going to come back. You know, Garcia's going to be such a huge proponent and a huge component, I should say, of this lineup going forward.
Yeah, like to quote my boy, you know, he's a dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Garcia's a dog.
Definitely.
And I think Stanton being out, like I told Cintron last night, I think it's a blessing in disguise. This way we don't got to worry about the logjam at DH. And honestly, with Stanton coming back, who knows what we'd have got if and when he would have came back. So I'd rather have these guys that are consistent right now, that are getting plate appearances, and see them in October, man. Other than that, Mugi, that's all I got. You have a great night, man. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, you too, Hector. 888-808-1019 is the phone number call. You know, now 2 days ago, we lost Dolly Parton, who passed away at the age of 80, and look, it's funny, I was just, not funny, but like it was just ironic that I was in Nashville a couple days ago, and I was just at Tootsie's, and Tootsie's is a very famous bar on Broadway, which is the huge strip of bars in Nashville, and obviously Dolly, among others, you know, kind of got a little bit of their start there at Tootsie's. It's just such a famous place where so many country music stars have performed. It's this little bar with a bunch of different levels, as many of the bars are on. But I mean, some of them now are just these huge, like, extravagant spots as Nashville and country music has gotten so much more popular. But Tootsie's is a little bit smaller than the rest of them, but it's a very, very cool spot. And obviously, Dolly is not only an icon in country music, not only an icon in terms of just in this country and beloved and all the charity work she did and a sex symbol, and even she transcended with sports and just all that stuff. And she unfortunately passed away at the age of 80. And then yesterday, we got the news that Tim Curry, actor, also passed away at the age of 80. And I was racking my brain all night trying to think of if Star Wars had this and the Rocky Horror Picture Show had this too, where there was a movie where people would go dressed up and it would almost be performative of the people in the audience. Star Wars has it. You know, you bring the lightsabers, you dress up like your favorite characters from Star Wars, and the Rocky Horror Picture Show had it. Now, obviously, I wasn't alive back then when it was around, but you would just hear all these stories about the midnight showings and people going there and just the craziness and the parties that would be going on during this movie. You know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show was one of the first ever cult classics. You know, one of those movies that just had this cult following, like I said, midnight showing where people would dress up and they would be performative and they would be part of the movie in a sense. And outside of Star Wars, I can't really remember any other movie besides Star Wars and the Rocky Horror Picture Show that had that type of fan interaction when you went to go see the movie. And then, of course, It, you know, Tim Curry's performance in It, which is very scary and one of those movies that just keep you up all night. And then, obviously, Home Alone 2. And just on and on and on and on and on. Certainly a legendary career. And like I said, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is just one of those movies that even if you haven't seen it, you've heard of it. And you've heard about it. And just the folklore and the legend that kind of, and now it's on Broadway. And they even did a remake of it a bunch of years back. And it's just, it's one of those movies that even, like I said, if you haven't seen it, you've certainly heard about it. And you've heard a lot of the things that have surrounded it. So back-to-back days, unfortunately, both of them 80 years old, which is just crazy just because they're the same age. But first Dolly and now Tim Curry. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. You know, the Giants offensive line, to me, is going to build off of last year. It's going to build off of that. I think they're going to be even better with Maui Noah in their top 10 pick, which is John Harbaugh's dedication to the offensive line and the power running game, the smash mouth style. I mean, you sign a fullback in the offseason, you spend a top 10 pick on an offensive lineman, a line that already played their best football in a decade. I think that it's going to be, and now you're trading off offensive linemen. So you're trading off depth, which has always been an issue with the Giants, depth on the offensive line, but it just tells you how strong they feel about the starting lineup, so to speak, of offensive linemen, and also the guys that are backing up those players, that they could just move on from a Zudu and just sort of cut ties with him. Now, as far as Odell, look, I'm rooting for him. I don't think we're going to see, obviously, the Odell from his early years or even the Odell from the Rams run where they won a Super Bowl, but I still think Odell has a few moments left in him. I still think he has a few moments. I still think he has a curtain call, so to speak, one last sort of hurrah, one last moment in the sun. And heck, it could come week one. You know, his most famous moment as a player, even though he won a Super Bowl, his most famous moment as a player, what you remember him for was that catch against the Cowboys. And right out of the gate, you get the Cowboys on prime time, just like that game. And I'm not saying he's going to have a catch like that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Odell has a touchdown, has a moment. And I'm sure the Giants are going to try to get him involved in that game. If they get down towards the red zone, which they obviously will, I think they're going to give a couple of looks towards OBJ's way. And like I said, I'm rooting for it. And I know he's in a polarizing player, and I'm sure there are a lot of Giant fans that were upset about him returning. But you're talking about a guy that I think is humbled, that is grateful for this chance that this team, this franchise, opened up their doors, opened up their arms to him all these years later, giving him this chance to finish where he started. And not just training camp or preseason game, but to get in there in the regular season to make any type of impact, even if it's a small one, on this season. And I do think Odell can be a veteran presence, a leader. I do think in a lot of ways he has changed as a person. And I was all in favor of the move. Even before they signed him, I was saying they should bring in Odell. They should bring in Odell just because, hey, look at this room in general. I mean, you got Darius Slayton on the team. I'm sorry. If Darius Slayton could be on the team, Odell could be on the team. Darius, to me, I thought Slayton was going to be gone years ago. The fact that he's still around is just mind-boggling to me. But yet, here we are. And maybe Slayton ends up being the odd man out. They're obviously going to have to make a big decision. Look, the Giants are going, even with the Austin injury, they're going to have to cut a good wide receiver. I just don't think it's going to be Beckham. And it wouldn't shock me at all if he has a moment or two, including week one against the Cowboys. Because why? Sports. That's why. Because I've watched enough sports to know that things like that can absolutely happen. And I'm sure the Giants want to happen. Now, they're not going to force feed it, but if the position presents itself, I think they will have a play or two drawn up for Odell to have that. And how great would it be? That full circle moment. And obviously the news of Malik being healthy, ready to go here, and Harbaugh but confirming this week that Neighbors is going to be out there for week one. You hate to see an injury to Austin, but you know what? I think they have enough depth at the wide receiver position, including Isaiah Likely, who joined Sean and Evan earlier yesterday on the midday show, on the Evan and Tiki show. A guy that I've been pumping up for months and months and months and months. I think he can be a tremendous asset to this team. Tremendous. And I think he's going to really shine in his really first opportunity as a pro to take the ball and run with it, which he did not get in Baltimore. But he's going to get it here with the Giants. Because I think it's going to be a lot of run heavy, and then work the tight ends, work the O, work Likely, etc. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. John joins us from Massachusetts here on After Hours. What's up, John?
How you doing, Tommy?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. So you're talking about the Giants. You're talking about Odell. First of all, I agree with everything you said about Odell. I think the guy is humble. I think also, you know, I don't know if you touched on this, but the experience he's had dealing with the ACL tear, winning a Super Bowl, and that happened in the same game, right?
Yeah.
You know, being in the, you know, the depths of Cleveland, being through the struggles and, you know, when the Giants weren't so great
right.
with him. Yeah. I think for a guy like Malik Neighbors, who obviously I think all those LSU guys grew up idolizing Odell, right?
Definitely.
Like he was the guy.
Yep.
Right? Like I think for Neighbors, I think that's the number one reason you keep Odell right there. It's just that veteran presence.
Yeah, mentorship. Yeah. I agree with you because you know what, though? Malik is already, nothing crazy, but he's already had a couple things where you're like, oh, that's interesting. And Odell can kind of explain to Malik sort of the pitfalls of the success in New York. And, hey, look, I made mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes I did.
Absolutely, right? Like, you know, like Malik Neighbors, his rookie year, right? He had that concussion, and he's at the Travis Scott concert.
Yeah, like, which I, you know what, I later, right? Yeah, you know what, John, I didn't have a big issue with that. That's just me.
But
people did. So does that make sense? So even though I didn't have an issue with it, people had an issue with it. And you want to avoid in life where people, especially as an athlete, where people have an issue with stuff you're doing.
Listen, Tommy, I was at the concert myself. I was perfectly okay with Neighbors being there.
Yeah.
But that being said, my other thing with the Giants I want to talk to you about, obviously you're a Giants fan. You said earlier 10 wins. I don't see how this team, like you know, 10 wins, I think I'd be satisfied with 10 wins.
Okay.
I just look through their schedule. I see 4 losses on the schedule. I think they go 13-4.
Wow. I thought I was going, not necessarily on a limb, but I thought I was on the more of the optimistic side for them. I'm not going to join you at 13. I'm going to stay with my 10. But listen, if they win 13 games, I will be obviously all of us will be just through the roof.
Well, the reason I say that is I look at that defense from last year, and Shane Bowen, simply put, was just awful.
Awful.
Back there. Yep. I mean, I think back to how many fourth quarter losses we had.
Yep.
That Broncos game where Dart went into Denver, put up however many points, right? Mm-hmm. He had that bad hit in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
That was bad, but like...
Oh, overall, it derailed the season. I mean, think about where they were. Think about how we were riding high as Giant fans, and the Giants themselves were riding high, and it looked like they were going to beat the Broncos, and then that loss just, to me, it derailed the season. They kind of tailspinned after that.
It ended the season, and then Scadaboo gets injured next week,
yep.
And that was just it, right?
Yep.
to me, I think, you know, like, I've heard the offense has had its struggles in camp, but I think part of that is going against a what I see as a top 10, maybe even top 5, maybe even the best defense in the NFL. Right? I think that's what we're dealing with when we think.
Yeah, look, if the secondary does their part, they absolutely can be a top 10 defense. And listen, I also think some of the struggles with the Giants in training camp, and I don't put a ton of stock in it, but for any team, but, you know, it is a new system. I mean, they bring in a new offensive coordinator, a new head 100%. Coach, and you got young players. So I think there's going to be growing pains.
100%. And, you know, like, I look at it and I also say, hey, you know, are the best piece on the offense isn't even participating in 11-on-11s, right?
Right.
He just got, Reber's just got back.
Yeah, this week.
This
yep.
week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just so happens that, you know, like I've seen the tweets and everything, the Giants offense has had its best week of camp once Neighbors is back participating with the full team. So to me, like, you know, the offense is a bit of a question mark, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything at the end of the day depends on what this Giants offense looks like. Ken Dart, do what he did last year and then a little bit extra, right? Can we get rid of that, you know, can we start sliding, right? Like, can we stay healthy?
Yeah, just not so much, and even just the sliding too, don't lead with your head, things of that nature. But the other thing too with Dart is think about where even his game went after Scatterboo got hurt. Obviously, Scatterboo's back healthy. And 100%. Jackson Dart basically didn't play at all with Neighbors. Neighbors got hurt in Dart's debut. So now with a healthy mm-hmm. Neighbors, I mean, and a healthy Scatterboo, and a beefed up wide receiver room and all these additions they made, it's only, and a running game with a fullback, all those things, a better offensive line, that's only going to help Jackson Dart in the long run.
100%. And I just wanted to, like, you know, that as you brought up Neighbors, I've been thinking back to that, you know, he made his NFL debut against the Chargers.
Yep.
Neighbors towards ACL, what, that second quarter?
Yeah.
How many catches did Neighbors have before, you know, he tore his ACL? I think it was like 4 catches. He was peppering Neighbors.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Which they were doing the year prior to that, before Dart even got here. And, you know, look, they know that Neighbors is the good. He's obviously going to get his looks. And, yeah, the fact that we didn't even get to see that combination other than a little glimpse of it, to me, it left me, you know, wanting so much more. And we're going to get that now, thankfully, right out of the gate, because I was a little worried there that Neighbors might not return till week 4, 5, 6, something like that. But, thankfully, it all but has been confirmed that he's going to play in week 1.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's, you know, like, week 1, I'm just pumped to see him against I think the Cowboys, like, obviously they've had her number the last, you know, I'm 21 years old, right? So I got into the Giants, like, Odell's rookie season,
mm-hmm.
to put it into perspective, right? Like, Odell was the guy who made me fall in love with the Giants. Since Eli retired, like, we've gotten dominated by the Cowboys. I have family that are Cowboys fans. I hate it, but I feel like the Cowboys are a good matchup for this squad. When you look at the
defense,
you know, when you look at, like, where we're strong, where they're weak, right?
Yeah.
They have that weak, that defense, they improved it. They got Caleb Downs. They traded for Quinnen Williams halfway through the year last year. Like, they definitely beefed up that defense.
Yep.
It's still not a defense that scares me whatsoever.
No, it does not. No.
And I look at the offense, and obviously the offense is top 5 in the league on paper, right? They were top 5.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's by far the strength of their team. They have a tremendous offense, for sure.
Right. So I look at the Giants, and I'm like, all right. I look at our defense, and I say, all right, I think this defense has a potential to be top 5. I think our offense has a potential to be average. I think this is a good week 1 test to kind of see, where's the offense at, right?
You get a little bit of a soft landing spot in week 1 against a defense that struggled mightily last year. So in theory, it could give you a little bit of a... I mean, Russell Wilson tore him up. So in theory, it gives the Giant offense an opportunity in week 1. If they're still kind of working through the kinks, it gives them a soft landing spot in week 1.
100%. And then, you know, like, this is the Cowboys offense. That's an offense that wants to pass, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to know, out of the gate, is this Giants pass rush is Kayvon, is Abdul, is Brian Burns, are they legit? Are they, like, the...
Yeah, guys? And they better be. They better be, because, like I said, if they're not, even though I think the linebacking core is going to be better and Reese is going to help with the pass rush mm-hmm. too, this secondary scares me. So if they're not getting after the quarterback, they're going to have a little bit of problem back there.
Absolutely. The secondary absolutely is a little bit scary. I mean, like, the reason I'm optimistic about that Giants defense is because that pass rush, I think, kind of eliminates the problem.
Well, Ken, yeah, absolutely. If they get after it, and Carter's a huge, and we haven't really touched on him a lot. Abdul Carter, look, year one, disappointing, off the field, on the field, all that stuff. And yeah, I don't want to hear about, well, absolutely, you know, hurries and things of that nature. He was drafted to get sacks. He's got to get more sacks. If he doesn't have a big year this year, people are going to start labeling him a bust, and that's totally fair to kind of say that. He's got to be way better, and in theory, he's going to be, because, I think last year was a little bit of a motivation thing. I think it was a little bit of whatever. And I think with Harbaugh here, it's going to help that motivation, mm-hmm, and I think he's going to get the best out of Abdul Carter, Harbaugh is.
100%. That's exactly how I feel about Abdul Carter. I think this guy has all the talent.
Yep.
I think it's a matter of coaching. Like, the guy's fallen asleep in meetings last year.
Exactly. It's a discipline thing. He clearly needs, and I appreciate the call, Johnny. I got to run. But, you know, you need a taskmaster. You don't need a friend. And in a lot of ways, I think Brian Daboll was trying to act like everybody's buddy, which it's not going to work when you're on in a losing organization. Let's call it like it is. I mean, since Coughlin, the Giants have been a losing organization. There's no other way around it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They have fallen on hard times, and they have lost their way as a franchise, period. And some of the nonsense that has just surrounded this team for years now, I think all of that is gone. All of it. And it starts to me with Harbaugh. Because even with the Scatterboo stuff, and we'll get to it coming up in a little bit, but even the Scatterboo stuff with the fight at camp, I mean, Harbaugh kind of nipped it in the bud afterwards. That's what he's going to do. I mean, even if there's a little bit of an issue here, a little bit of an issue there, Harbaugh, it's not his first rodeo. He knows what he's doing, more than knows what he's doing. And he is going to build the culture of this team, and he's going to be able to handle the media, and he's going to be able to handle everything. So I'm not worried about I'm not worried about Scatterboo starting a fight anyway, to be honest with you. But it's football, last time I checked. But I am very much confident in the head coach and his ability to put out fires. And that's exactly what Harbaugh has done a couple times already as the head coach. And look, it's New York. It's such an interesting position that Harbaugh is walking into, because similar to the Jets, right? Because the Giants have been similar to the Jets for a while now. You know, there's just a lot of bad vibes surrounding everything, right? You walk in and there's just bad vibes, right? You almost have that, like, it's contagious, right? Losing poisons your franchise. And the big reason you hire Harbaugh is to teach these young players how to win. But you're walking into a franchise where the expectations are through the roof. It's a massive, loyal, blue-collar fan base that is just sick and tired of the football that they've had to watch for whatever it's been now, a decade or so. They're so sick and tired of it. Now, some of them, like me, want to get to the front of the line immediately. There are others that would look at a 7-8 win year and would see that as great progress, which it is. I'm not going to say that it's not. I'll be disappointed, but that's just me. I'm allowed to be disappointed. Somebody may get a certain present for their birthday, and they love it. Others may get that, and they might be disappointed by that. You have an individual sort of right to be disappointed or not disappointed by it. And I would be disappointed with a 7 or 8 win year. I would. And I know that might seem crazy to some, but that's just where I'm at. But that's the type of stuff that Harbaugh is walking into here. And it is a honeymoon right now. But that honeymoon could end rather quickly for some because of the nature of New York. And the nature of the situation that Harbaugh is walking into, with the expectations, with the losing that is surrounded, this idea maybe that some people, oh, well, Harbaugh is overrated. You know, he wasn't the guy that led. He wasn't the real reason the Ravens were winning. And that's why everybody in Baltimore wanted to get rid of him, including the fan base and all that stuff. You know exactly what you're going to hear if the Giants lose a game or two. It's coming. But luckily, it's not Harbaugh's first rodeo. He'll be able to handle it. But it's a very unique situation. Like, this is not a startup franchise. This is the Giants. This is one of the proud, most successful franchises in the history of the NFL, with a young quarterback that everybody's excited about, and a lot of talent all around on this roster, and a lot of interesting personalities, to say the least, starting with Cam Scatterboo. But that's where Harbaugh's experience, expertise, and winning culture that he brings, that's where it is going to be. It's, you know, that's where it's going to have its most value. 135 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower, Loogie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Let's do a little fan focus here. So there was a lot made of Cam Scataboo and starting a fight. Maybe a couple of his teammates didn't appreciate something he did on the field. And let's just get this completely out there and straight and 100% correct. Cam Scataboo is the best thing for the Giants. When Cam Scataboo went down with an injury last year, the offense took a nosedive. Cam Scataboo, along with Jackson Dart, were exactly what this offensive needed. You know, toughness, an edge, some ability. And I know Cam Scataboo marches to the beat of his own drum, to say the least, but Cam Scataboo is the best thing for this team. He's obviously become a huge fan favorite, and whether it's the toughness, the running style, the ability, everything about it, Scat is what's best for this Giant team. And if Javon Holland has a problem with it, I mean, Javon Holland, who stunk last year, I don't really need to hear from Javon Holland if he has a problem with the way Cam Scataboo is handling himself at practice, where the defensive players can't hit the offensive players, and Scataboo has kind of put himself in a situation where certain defensive players are unhappy with his way he's acting on the field, so to speak, at camp. I really don't care as far as what Javon Holland has to say about anything, because he sucked last year and he needs to be better, because his secondary was not very good last year. It needs to be better this year. And I wouldn't be worried about the way Cam Scataboo is performing on the field or doing things to annoy you to where it starts a fight. And Harbaugh had to step in and he said all the right things because Harbaugh knows what he's doing and this is not his first rodeo. But Cam Scataboo is what's best for this Giants team. And he is a much needed, not only personality, but just his running style, his effectiveness, ability to catch the ball, ability to run the ball, ability to score touchdowns. That was severely missed when he went down with a gruesome injury. And Scataboo's all about football. You know, he's just a football player. He's a great personality, huge fan favorite, and he is best for business when it comes to the Giants. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Now, as far as the Yankees, a couple things here before we get back to your calls. Luis Garcia Jr. could go down as one of the best trades that Brian Cashman has ever made. I mean, you were able to get this guy for virtually nothing. He is your starting first baseman, not only this year, but next year. He is batting in the middle of your lineup. He's having a career year. I think it's sustainable. He is perfect for Yankee Stadium. He has the perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. He is a dog. He has the mentality that you're looking for, and he feels like a guy that can carry you in October. And he alleviates some of the pressure from an Aaron Judge, from a Ben Rice, from a Bellinger. He stretches out your lineup. And the fact that you were able to get him for virtually nothing, you were able to get the best offensive player at the deadline, a guy who's perfect for Yankee Stadium. And I know Brian Cashman is much maligned. He has his detractors. He has his critics. And he didn't have a complete deadline. He should have got a catcher. But he did get Luis Garcia Jr., and Garcia could go down as one of the best acquisitions, best trades that Brian Cashman has ever made. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's head out to Jake. He joins us in the Bronx. What's up, Jake? Okay, we'll keep Jake there. We'll see if Mario is there. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
So what happened to Scat? I was just reading about the Scataboo thing. I didn't really know what happened. And
he stood down after reception, and I guess he came close to taking out a couple of DB's legs and something like that. And look, you don't want anybody to get hurt out there, but, you know, get lost. I mean, it's just one of those things where you're going to start a fight over it.
But if that's true, you don't do that.
Yeah, if it's true. I mean, it's one of those situations. But also, too, like, you don't necessarily have to start a fight over it. And this idea that Cam Scataboo is wearing thin on some of the defensive players, well, that's just the style that Scataboo plays. I mean, I don't think he's intentionally trying to hurt anybody out there.
Yeah, well, if you are trying to take somebody out's legs, you are trying to hurt somebody. If that's true,
But, Mario, he's not trying to hurt defensive players on his own team.
I understand that. But if you take somebody's legs out, you are trying to hurt them.
No, you're not trying to hurt them. You accidentally hurt them.
No. If you're trying means something on purpose. right? That's the worst.
Yes, that's my point. He's not purposely trying to hurt somebody. He would accidentally hurt them.
Okay. All right. Whatever it is. But anyway, quick, can I jump to the Yankees real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think right now, right, I'm very excited about the Yankees right now because with the runs they're scoring, I'll tell you right now, I believe if they can score 4 runs a game, which is not the great, which is good mm-hmm. compared to when I was doing 2, they win in the World Series with that pitcher.
Yeah.
They're going all the way.
Yeah, no doubt. If the offense is consistent, if they could settle right around 4 runs and they can get those clutch, meaningful hits in October, they have the best pitching staff, in my opinion, in all of baseball. You're right. If they can get to that 4 run or so game average in October, then yes, they will win.
And you're right about Garcia Jr. I mean, he's been
incredible.
He's unbelievable.
Yep, incredible. I mean, listen, Brian Cashman, he's got his detractors, but it's impossible to criticize him for this one. This is going to, I think, go down as one of his best moves because you have Garcia under contract for the next year and a half, and maybe Garcia, resigns and ends up being a Yankee for the next 10 years. And to me, he's built for this city and built for that stadium. That's without a doubt.
And I mean, Schlitt looks like he's on his way for the Cy
yep.
Young.
Yep.
In the
yep.
American League.
Yep, no doubt. And Schlittler's built different. He's one of those guys that I think, and we've already seen it, a guy that can rise to the occasion in October, and that's what you're looking for, a guy that sort of has that chip on his shoulder that uses negativity to kind of motivate him. Yeah, Schlittler's the goods, and obviously Cole, we know, he's had a ton of postseason performances and experience, and then you're getting Max Fried back here over the weekend. So those three guys alone is great.
Yeah, one last question for you. Yep. Do you think McClain can get to Schlittler's level?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. And I anticipated it when those guys kind of burst onto the scene that we would be talking about who's better, who's going to have the better career, things of that nature. But yes, I do. I think Nolan McClain has the same type of makeup that a Cam Schlittler has, that ace makeup, that bulldog mentality, that leader of a staff mentality. Both guys have it. Schlittler has it, and so does Nolan McClain. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Phil joins us next from Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's doing? Hey. I want to speak about the Yankee starters. Over the weekend, I noticed the newspaper always posts who's going to be pitching over the weekend against the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of days there, they have TBD, to be determined. What are they trying to say? They don't know who's going to come into pitch.
Yes.
Who's ready? Well, they haven't made a decision.
Yeah, because they don't know about Fried and things of that nature. So they have a couple of moving parts, and they gotta figure out, including tonight with Rodriguez. There's just a little bit of a fluctuation here of who might start.
Uh huh. Well, my other point I wanted to make is about the football Giants. I happen to think the first two games...
And remember, Phil, it's obviously a doubleheader on Saturday, and if Fried throws this bullpen, everything's good, he's going to start one of those games.
Okay, good. My other point is about the football Giants.
Yep.
The first two games, easy-peasy.
Nope, not easy at all.
I hope that the defense rises up. I remember them in the playoffs against the 49ers. They dominated. They got a couple of guys there. If Dak Perry... They got Burns.
Yep.
I think there's 4 guys that could rush.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Giants. I mean, you got Kayvon, you got Abdul, you got Burns.
To be stoppers on the run.
Yeah, that's the thing. They got to be able to stop the run. That, to me, Phil, is the most important thing with this Giants defense. They got to figure out a way to limit the other team's rushing attack because it's been something they've been unable to do in recent memory.
And I also noticed that, what's his name, Eaton? The guy who plays in the back, he's trying. Deontay Banks,
Banks.
He's trying to turn it around. So maybe
he's trying. Yeah, listen. I mean, I'm not. I'm very. I've soured on Banks.
They were all down on him last.
Yeah, well, he quit on a couple plays, and he gives you that lack of effort. And obviously, when he first started, everybody thought he'd be really, really good, and then he wasn't. And then certain things like quitting on plays is not going to win you any sort of favor with the fans, but we'll see. I mean, you're putting a lot of
on the
faith
hard walk. The chemistry works. I think they're going to be okay. Yeah, I'll even take one and one the first two games.
Yeah, no,
have
I
a
think
good evening. Stay well.
Yeah, you too, Phil. Good to talk to you. I think that's a very fair expectation in the first two games, and I'm with you. 1-1. I think they beat the Cowboys, and then I think they lose to the Rams. Now, the one thing to know about the Rams, though, in that game is they are coming back from Australia. They open the series in Australia, the Rams do. So the travel there right out of the gate is tricky. So maybe, just maybe, you catch the Rams at the absolute perfect time. But I do think the Giants ultimately will start the year 1-1. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mustafa is in Jamaica. What's up, Mustafa?
What's going on, hey. Moogie? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Chilling. So, yeah, I have a conspiracy theory of epic, possible, orgasmic proportions for New York sports.
Interesting.
Pete Game, right? The Knicks winning the title this year.
Yep.
The Yankees' late surge, and things seem to be breaking their way with either Tampa or Milwaukee being the top seed, L.A. in their midst of struggles, and the NL being an absolute wild situation where we don't know necessarily who's coming up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Knicks, I mean, you mean the NL? Yeah, I mean, in all likelihood, it's the Dodgers, but who knows? It's tough to three-peat.
Knicks may be repeating, but we'll leave that for the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants on the come up, they are the most bet team to win the Super Bowl. Not saying it, but wouldn't surprise me if they have what New England had last year with their quarterback in his second year, new head coach, some signings,
and they
skyrocket. Like the Supernova song that was on my playlist back in the day for EDM. I know that track very well. But also, maybe the Devils. There seems to be a lot of energy before the Knicks even finish.
Yeah, you're just saying New York
starting.
Sports in general right now, because there's been some lean years, but it seems like with the Knicks obviously at the top as champions of basketball, but it just feels like we are entering sort of an era of like a lot of good sports around here.
I'll close my call with this. If you remember the 2008 season with Boston sports, with the Red Sox, not almost the Red Sox, but the Celtics, the Patriots, and all that. The year before when they actually won in 2005 or 2004, whatever, when in the midst of their dynasty, until the Giants unseated them in 2007.
Right.
You get it, right?
Yep.
So there seems to be that where I have a conspiracy that over the past 10 years, New York City has rose from the mud to be Title Town USA for 2025, 2026, 2027.
Well, listen, it's hard to... You know what? The Yankees have as good a chance as anybody of winning the World Series. Giants, I don't think, are winning the World Series this year, but I understand where there'd be some optimism that they would win a World Series, or excuse me, a Super Bowl. Giants are definitely not winning the World Series, neither the football Giants or the baseball Giants. Sorry, I'm getting a little bots, a little stonad. Late in the show here, all good. The Knicks, obviously, champions of basketball. Yankees, as good a chance as anybody of winning a World Series. Giants, I don't think it's this year, but it's certainly fair to think that they could win a Super Bowl with Harbaugh and with Dart, with that combination. So there's a lot of optimism just surrounding those teams. And I think even I know you don't want to hear this maybe now with the Mets, but I do think that they are definitely trending in the right direction. And then, of course, my Islanders, as you know, with DeBoer there now and the Prince of New York and the greatest teenage defenseman in the history of the NHL and Schaefer. So there's a lot to like with the Islanders. And I gave you the positivity plan with the Jets, of course. And you brought up the Devils, and well, the Rangers we know are going to be horrible for 30 years, but oh well, I'm sure their fans will still think that they have the best hockey team in all of New York, but that's just sort of their cross to bear. And then, is there anybody I'm forgetting? No, I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody I'm forgetting. By the way, if I'm Aaron Boone, if I'm the Yankees, I give George Lombard Jr. a day off. You know, another error, and I think it's a bump in the road. I think the defensive plays that we saw early on with George Lombard Jr., that's the guy that we're going to see here for the next 10 years. I truly believe that. This is just, you kind of go through those ups and downs as a rookie. And what you want to avoid here is putting Lombard Jr. out there again, committing an error against Houston, and that carrying over to the Red Sox series. You do not want that. It could snowball. It could become more of a conversation. You could start to hear the boo birds. It could be a situation that you don't want a young player to have to go through, especially with a critical series coming up against the Red Sox. You got to make every play against Boston to beat them. You don't have to against Houston. They suck. But against And you're saying, oh, well, they're in first place. The division's horrible. I mean, Houston's basically at 500 or under 500. They're not a very good baseball team. But Boston is. To me, the two best teams in the American League, the only two good teams in the American League, the only teams that have any shot in the American League of going to the World Series are the Yankees and the Red Sox. So you got a big four-game set coming up against them. I would want George Lombard Jr. mentally just to get a little reset, a little bit of a relaxation, and then you can have him out there for Boston. So if I was Boone, if I were the Yankees, I would give Lombard a day off in the final game of this series against Houston. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Jan joins us next from Manhattan. What's going on, Jan?
Oh, hi, Tony. I want to know what you have, not against the Rays exactly. It's not that you're against them, but you're very negative Tommy about them, and I don't know why.
Yeah, because I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're very good. I think they're good, but I don't think they're very good.
You don't think they're very good. Well, explain that a little bit, because they do keep winning, and it's sort of frustrating. I follow the Yankees a little bit. I guess I'm a little bit of a fan. I usually think I'm not, but then I notice I like it when the Yankees win. I say, oh, the Yankees won. Oh, but how did they won, too. And the Rays sometimes win when the Yankees lose. The Yankees can't get ahead of things.
Yeah, you can't take the wins away from Tampa. I understand that, and they're closing in on 80 wins, but you're starting to see them slide a little bit. I think a lot of what they do is smoke and mirrors, and I just think that has a shelf life. I just think the Yankees are better. I think Boston's better, and I don't think Tampa has any kind of legitimate real shot of going to the World Series.
Okay. But if they keep winning...
if they keep winning, obviously, but they've kind of, and I appreciate the call as always, they've kind of hit the skids a little bit. They have not been playing really good baseball over the last couple weeks, and I don't think they're going to win the division. In fact, I think they're going to finish in third. I just think the Red Sox and Yankees are going to both pass them. Caminero's obviously having a tremendous year. He's really good. Yadi Diaz is really good. They have a really good manager, and I give them a ton of credit for having a season like this when you consider their lack of resources. It says a lot about their culture. It says a lot about their manager. It says a lot about their front office. The fact that they have almost 80 wins here, and we haven't even gotten to September, and they're in first place, and have been in first place for the majority of the season. But I just think the clock is ticking on them. I think it's clearly ticking on them. I don't think they're going to win the division. In fact, I think they're going to finish in third place. I think both the Yankees and Red Sox will both pass them. Ed joins us next from Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
What do you say, Tony?
Hey, what's up?
You mentioned earlier if you would like the Yankees to get a catcher. There was no catcher to be had.
Well, yes, there was.
For what? If you want to give up Lombard, yeah.
No, you could have got Liam Hicks from the Marlins.
Come on, you're not just going to get a catcher to get a catcher.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? He's having a really good year for Miami, and your competition in the Rays got him. So the two teams that you're competing with in your division both got catchers, and you're telling me that there was no catchers out there?
Nothing that's going to make that much of a difference. Have you noticed? And look, it makes me nuts whenever Wells gets up there. You know, it comes up in a big spot and
he grounds into a double play or strikes out almost every time.
Right. But he has played better. He's batting .250 since.
But you know what I'm going to say in response to that, Ed? How on the earth could he play any worse?
Well, but the fact of the matter is he's playing better. Do I want him? No. Next season, they have to get another catcher. In the meantime.
He still has 19 RBIs, though.
I agree with you. They need one. But I'm not going to just get any catcher. They had a couple of guys on their radar. They couldn't get them. The teams wanted too much. So they'll get bought. If they felt it, look, they had two blue chip catchers. They traded for relievers. You know?
Yeah.
They had, you know, unfortunately, one of them's out for the season now, maybe longer. But you know what? Look, Cashman did everything he could with what he had. He always does. He got Weathers. Nobody thought anything about that.
Yeah, no, it was a great pickup. And I love the Garcia trade. I think the Ramos trade is a disaster, but that's okay because he was just brought in here for a depth piece.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah, but it's a depth piece, so I'm not going to get nuts. I don't think it was a centerpiece of the... But my thing, Eddie, and I appreciate the call. I literally got to run the show. I was about to wrap up. But the idea of not coming out of this... The idea of coming out of the deadline without a catcher, I thought was a really bad look. I thought it was an incomplete deadline. And I think the Twins playing better baseball, that kind of cut off the market a little bit for the Yankees. But you know what? By hook or by crook, I think the Yankees had to come out of the trade deadline with a catcher. And Wells is playing better, I suppose, but he is really good defensively, but you look at the numbers, you watch him play every day, and you see him come up in these big spots, and he's not working the counts, he's striking out, or he's grounding into double plays like he did the other night in the loss against Houston, comes up there, boom, double play. I know you don't want to overpay for a catcher, but to me, you couldn't leave the deadline without one, and they did. And as much as I like the Garcia trade, I think it can go down as one of Cashman's best. You still look at this deadline as incomplete because the Yankees weren't able to get their biggest need, which was a catcher, because Wells has been so putrid with the bat in his hands all season long. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Alex's arm. My thanks to Fleegs. My thanks to KP. My thanks to all the listeners out there, everybody that called up. Appreciate all you guys and gals. Alson Tron, he comes your way next. He'll take you through the overnight, and then I will be back later on tonight after the Yankee game, after the Yankee post game, right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9.